Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Inox Green Energy Services Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Systematix Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jigar Kamdar from Systematix. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nirav. Good afternoon to and warm welcome to everyone to the 3Q FY22 results conference call of Inox Green Energy Services Limited. On behalf of the management, I would like to apologize for the delay on the start of the call. The management will be represented by Mr. Devansh Jain, Executive Director, INOXGFL Group, Mr. Jitendra Mohnani, Group Financial Controller, Mr. Kailas Lal Tarachandani, Chief Executive Officer, Inox Wind Group, and Mr. S.K. Mathusudhana, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Inox Green Energy Services. Without any further delay, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Jigar. Thank you, everybody, for your patience. We apologize for the delay. I think it was the first time we were readying ourselves to have an investor call as a listed company as part of Inox Green, so we needed to comply with certain requirements. Now that that's been done and everything was uploaded on the stock exchanges, we're happy to go about with this investors call. Thank you for taking out the time, and welcome to the first inaugural investor call for Inox Green. This is the first time we're having a call post the IPO of Inox Green, and I will take this opportunity to take everybody through our investor presentation in brief and then through the financial numbers of this quarter, as well as discuss strategic developments which have taken place at Inox Green since the IPO. I will also take this opportunity to introduce you to S.K. Mathu, who joined us as the CEO for Inox Green. He is available for any questions when we open the floor to questions. Kailas Tarachandani, who is well-known in the wind sector, who's been the CEO of Inox Wind for almost a decade with us. If it's convenient for everybody, I'm just gonna do a page turn and run through some of the key points. Inox Green is a part of the strong INOXGFL Group. We are a group which operates in two primary verticals, chemicals and renewable energy. Under renewable energy, we have our listed parent, Inox Wind, and under wind, we have Inox Green Energy Services, which we have recently listed. The overall group market capitalization is close to $5 billion. Post the IPO, Inox Green is owned approximately 56% by Inox Wind Limited, and the rest is owned by the public, consisting of FIIs, domestic institutions, and obviously retail and corporate investors. Talking a little bit about the wind sector, I think something which is fundamental, which is a very, very significant development in the wind sector, which has taken place since the IPO, is the fact that we had been expecting reverse auctions to be discontinued. To that extent, the government of India has now introduced a new policy wherein they will be calling for bids for 8 GW of wind projects every year from 2023 to 2030. Mind you, this is beyond public sector enterprise tenders and private consumption through C&I model, which itself is a very, very significant part of the market. The good part about these tenders is these are spread across all the 8 windy states of this country, and all of them are under a typical single stage, two envelope closed bid basis, which is what all infrastructure projects, primarily most infrastructure projects in this country are bidded out. The unique and good part about this, which we had been pushing the government for the past many years, was to make it a evenly spread out policy such that wind develops across the country and not just in a Gujarat or a Tamil Nadu. To that extent, they've taken out a composite bid, which would include state-specific bids. The unique part being that no specific state under the central bids can have more than 2 gigawatts per annum. So it will ensure uniform developments in states like Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Maharashtra, Karnataka and Andhra, which were until now being left out under the auction regime. India has announced a massive renewable energy target of 175 gigs by 2022, and obviously they want to ramp this up to 450 gigawatts by 2030. And this 8 gigawatt goal will go a long way to achieving a significant part of that journey. I won't take too much time on various other things which are happening in the sector, but basically the more renewables which come into the grid, and with this policy stalemate being sorted out finally, and such a large trajectory for wind being announced, we expect significant growth opportunities for Inox Green on the organic side of business through its parent company. The next slide talks about the salient features of Inox Green. We are backed by a very, very strong and dependable $5 billion Inox GFL group. We have very, very strong government push for this sector. The ensuing developments and the updates I gave you only make this sector look stronger as we move forward. At Inox Green, we've had a very strong execution record of about 10 years. We've been managing about 2,700 megawatts organically. We have very reliable and stable cash flows in this business. We provide comprehensive solutions, and it's a technology-driven sector. What's important is, which I'll speak about is, in the later part of my presentation is, we had said we will be growing this business not just organically via Inox Wind, but also inorganically by way of taking over contracts and acquiring companies. And I'm happy to announce we've signed a definitive agreement and have taken over iFox Wind Technic India Private Limited, which is a third-party O&M service provider with 230 megawatts of operating assets, besides a big chunk and pipeline under iFox, which we expect to add as we move forward. The portfolio of Inox Green has grown from 90 megawatts to now 3,050-odd megawatts in a span of about 10 years. This has grown at a CAGR of over 40%, and we expect to maintain this growth for the next two financial years at least. Coming to where we are with Inox Green, we are transitioning to an asset-light model with minimal capex. The historical business model required us to develop common infrastructure and incur significant capex towards that. This is completely stopped at Inox Green. What we're doing now is monetizing investments of our power assets so that we move towards higher EBITDA margins and profit margins and focusing on organic as well as inorganic growth. Towards monetizing our investments, I'm happy to say that the entire 50 megawatts of Nani Virani, the last SPV in our system, stands commissioned. We are now discussing with multiple buyers to downsell this asset, which we expect to do in the near future. Once we do that, Inox Green will be a net debt-free entity. In terms of organic and inorganic growth, organically we continue to grow. Inox Wind, the parent of Inox Green, post the IPO is very well capitalized. It's been ramping up operations, and we expect Q4 to be the first full quarter where Inox Wind will be back to operational levels which used to exist during the pre-auction regime scenario. On the inorganic growth side of things, as I mentioned, we have recently taken over iFox Wind Technic. We've acquired 51% of the company. The strategic intent being that we want to carry teams with us. We want the local contracts to be married to us for multiple years. As many of you may be aware, all the contracts which are at the Inox Green level from Inox Wind are married to us for the next 20 years or 25 years, given the common infrastructures controlled by us. In third-party O&M acquisitions which we are carrying out, naturally majority of the OEMs have gone bust, as a result of which third-party O&M developers have come around. And to ensure longevity of the business and to ensure we have solid control over the 1, 2, 3 years, and then, you know, typically people stick with you, we've taken over 51% of this company. We have the rights to acquire 49% in due course of time, but we believe it's a prudent strategy to acquire 51%, which is a mix of cash as well as equity over a period of time, such that it's value accretive from day one and cash flow accruals are solid at the Inox Green level. To take you through the operational and the financial highlights for this quarter. This was the first quarter post the IPO. We successfully completed our IPO in November 2022 and raised 740 crores. 370 was primary in Inox Wind, in Inox Green, and 370 was secondary in Inox Wind. Of the 370 crores which came into Inox Green, 330 crores was utilized towards deleveraging the balance sheet and pairing off all the debt, which left us with approximately 40 crores, of which was the share, 31 odd crores was the share of Inox Green towards IPO expenses and so on and so forth. The remaining 8 to 10 crores lies at Inox Green in our escrow accounts towards repaying debt or utilizing towards acquisitions. As we had mentioned during the IPO, Inox Green is expected to become net debt free. The only debt which we carry at the Inox Green level now is 200 odd crores which belongs to Rani Virani and 100 odd crores which is the equity invested in Rani Virani. As I mentioned, over this quarter, we've fully commissioned Rani Virani. We are now negotiating and in discussions with multiple potential buyers for this last SPV. Once we flip this, 200 crores of debt will go away from the system and 100 odd crores of invested equity will come back into the company, which will make Inox Green net debt free. Let me just add, it's not that if we are carrying this 200 crores of debt presently, we have any incremental costs, given that it's a generating asset and is throwing up cash on an ongoing basis. So we're kind of well covered. Having said that, we're not in the business of owning IPP assets. And as we've sold 4 IPP assets in the past, this would be the last asset which we expect to flip in the near future. Over this quarter, again to reiterate, we entered our third-party O&M services. I recall during the IPO, many people had questions, how would we end up doing this? Is this rocket science? Is this complicated? And we are happy to say that this was the first acquisition we made. We are looking at multiple acquisitions and you should be hearing on many of them from the team as we move forward. Over the quarter, CRISIL has upgraded the rating from CRISIL BBB with a stable outlook to CRISIL BBB plus with a positive outlook. We expect this to be further upgraded post the down sale of Rani Virani. Of course, we were told that post commissioning of Rani Virani this will be done, but I think we are working towards making it net debt free such that we can hopefully move to an A category. Operationally, during the quarter, revenue from operations was 71 crores compared to 61 crores in Q2. Let me please reiterate and explain this. Total revenue includes revenue from trading activities pertaining to the wind business. Post the IPO, this will be discontinued once bank limits are transferred to other wind group companies. We're in discussions with all the banks, and I believe over the course of this quarter, all the limits which are pertaining to Inox Wind or Inox Wind Infrastructure Services or ESCO will be transferred to the respective entities such that with effect from 1st April, there should be no trading activity carried out at Inox Green. From an EBITDA perspective, we've made operationally 18.26 crores, but effectively our EBITDA margin from plain vanilla O&M operations have been close to 48% in this quarter. We guided for 50 to 55%, and I think over the course of the full financial year, we are well on track to be at 50 to 55% EBITDA margin. This quarter also excluded one-time other income of 20 crores, given at the Inox Wind level, we have provided for all sticky receivables and certain legacy issues which we had to clean up, as a result of which there was a gain at the Inox Green level to the extent of 18 to 20 crores, which comes in exceptional items. We have not spoken about that in operations since that's a one-off item and will not occur going forward. But that was a gain of 20 crores in this quarter. With this, I'll leave the floor open to questions. I have with me S.K. Mathu, who's the CEO of Inox Green, Mr. Monani, who's been with me across all the roadshows when we did the IPO of Inox Green, and Kailash Tarachandani, who's the CEO of Inox Green.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Nirav Shah from GC Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Few questions. We mentioned that the portfolio is 3034 megawatt as on date, but what was the exit size, and how do you see the March exit portfolio, and also the breakup between how much will be from acquired asset and how much will be from IWL's installations?
2804. So the portfolio as on 31st December was 2804 megawatt. So that we have added 230 megawatts of IFLOX execution.
Okay, so that's already added.
Yeah.
And balance would be the further installations.
Yeah, that will come in due course. As and when we do the commissioning, those contracts will come under O&M business.
Yeah, and how do you see the March exit?
So, Neera, we won't give forward-looking guidances, but I think we shared broad numbers in terms of what we expected to do during the IPO, and I think we're very well on track, not just organically, but inorganically as well. Obviously, sometimes you have organic commissioning which gets bunched up, and to that extent, you may not have it in one quarter, you may have it in the other quarter, but as execution is ramping up, I think we should be ahead of targets in terms of both our organic goals as well as our inorganic goals.
Sure, got it. Second question is, so you gave the reason for increase in other income. I just missed that. If you can just repeat it.
Sure.
This is about, this comes from Wind 2, which has been downsold to Adani quarterback. Now this, the company, the Wind 2 was our associate, and we have, we had a share of losses in that to the extent of 18 crores, that company being associate. Now, as the company has been downsold, the impact has been reversed and shown as income, other income of 18 crores.
Which is exceptional item. In
yeah, which is exceptional item and it's one time, so it's not going to get repeated again.
Got it. And so you mentioned that the core O&M margins were somewhere around 48%, whereas reported operating profit from the release is somewhere around 23%. So what were the one-offs over here? I mean,
no, one-off. I think what's being included in that is the trading revenue. As you may understand, when we did the IPO, all the limits of the wind companies were under IWISL and INOX Wind. All of them were not shifted out. Post the IPO, we've been talking to all the banks to obviously now shift out the limits, and there was a process which had to be undertaken. We're also, as some of you may be aware, have spoken with multiple banks to remove the corporate guarantees which have come in from various group entities as well, and to a great extent a lot of that is now in vogue. So basically it's the trading revenues which do not pertain to this business. Otherwise the pure O&M business for this quarter has been at about 48 to 50% EBIT margin, which is what should, I mean, ideally everyone should focus on the O&M business. The trading business is something which is de facto being done till the limits get transferred. And as I mentioned, we expect all those limits to get transferred to the respective wind companies by 31st March, such that from 1st April onwards, there is no trading revenue coming in INOX Green. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So what was the O&M revenues, if I can ask?
O&M revenues approximately 44 to 45 crores.
250. Got it. And just the last question, I mean, you mentioned that the debt that is there on the books is largely close to around 300 crores, if I got that right.
The net debt is close to 300 crores and will actually be about 270 crores, if 265 crores. It's approximately 265 crores at this point in time. 200 odd crores will go by way of when we sell Nani Virani, we get 300 odd crores thumb rule. So the 265 crores gets eliminated against that. Whatever is the incremental becomes net cash. So hence we are guiding for net debt free post sale of this asset. Possibly we may be plus 30, 40 crores on top of that only.
Got it, sir. Got it. Perfect. Thank you, sir.
And again, just to reiterate, it's not as if if the asset is lying with us for 1 or 2 or 3 months, there will be any impact. We are not factoring that, but when a 50 megawatt asset is operating, it typically generates about 45 crores of top line. So to that extent, you're earning revenues and your interest costs are lower. But we are not factoring that in our operations, given that this asset is only being held to be downsold.
Perfect. Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Akhilesh Bhandari from ICICI Prudential. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for taking my question. Firstly, you mentioned that you have paid a considerable portion of the debt, but quarter on quarter there is a slight increase in finance cost. So when was the actual repayment done during the quarter?
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay connected. The line for the management dropped. Participants, please stay connected while we rejoin the management back to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected. Akhilesh, may I request you to repeat your question once again for the management?
I'm sorry, we got disconnected. So you said the next question is from the line of Akhilesh and then that was the end of it.
Yeah, sir, I'll repeat my question. So my question was that you mentioned that you have repaid a considerable portion of the debt, but quarter on quarter there's a slight increase in finance costs. So when was the actual repayment done during the quarter?
So Akhilesh, I think first and foremost, while the 330 crores of debt has been repaid immediately post the IPO once the funds were released to us in November end, and to that extent, the interest pertaining to that debt has gone has been eliminated over, say, 33 days of the gone by quarter. But Nani Virani got commissioned in that quarter, and all the interest pertaining to the
to that project
prior to that period has been reflected in the interest cost. On an ongoing basis, if you will look at it from, let's say, Q4 onwards, the debt which will remain in the system at an operating level now is, say, 200 crores pertaining to Nani Virani and 100 odd crores, which is the equity invested in that asset. And as soon as that asset is sold, 300 crores of interest bearing debt, if I may say, will also be eliminated from the P&L.
Just to add, Nani Virani is now fully commissioned.
So in this quarter, it will be helpful if we can break up the 71 odd crore. You mentioned that the O&M revenue is around 44-45 crore. So what is the revenue from Nani Virani and the other trading revenue which you mentioned? If you can also mention that.
So Akhilesh, broadly speaking, I think the O&M revenue is approximately 45 crores. Nani Virani revenues in this quarter are approximately 2 crores. And the remaining 23 odd crores is the trading revenue, which is at cost.
That's at cost. Okay.
The low wind season.
Also, it was commissioned over the, yeah, the line, yeah, which was suspended. Yeah. Got commissioned. So it's not, so it's not full year. So Nani Virani is not full year revenue.
Yeah.
Just like, trading revenue is one off.
Sir, and also can you explain a bit more in detail the trading revenue? I don't fully grasp it. What is the trading? What is the nature of this trading revenue?
Akhilesh, as prior to the IPO, all the limits were under Inox Wind and Inox Wind Infrastructure Services Limited. And these were fungible. Now, when we carved out the O&M business and put it in IWISL became Inox Green and the EPC business shifted to RESCO, the limits had not been transferred across these entities. The limit transferring was, also prior to the IPO, we could not transfer all of it. Post the IPO, all these limits are now being transferred to their respective entities. As a result of which, if there were certain LC limits which were under the erstwhile Inox Wind Infrastructure Services Limited, which then became Inox Green, those limits were used to open LCs for products which had to be purchased and sold, and those LCs are coming under trading revenue. Trading revenue is at cost. There is zero profit, zero loss pertaining to that. And this is something which will affect from, say, 1st April completely stop because all the limits are being transferred to the respective wind companies, be it RESCO or Inox Wind, as we speak.
Understood. Also, if you can give some more details about the IFOX 230 megawatt portfolio, what is the remaining life, what is the breakup between common infra and how much is comprehensive, and also the existing profitability of that portfolio?
So, Madhu, you wanna give them a broad sense of where we are, and then Katie, maybe...
Again, Yaraj.
Yeah, hi, good evening everyone. This is Madhu and hi. Answering to the IFOX acquisition, so IFOX is a very, very renowned ISP in India, one among the top three players in India. And they have a very solid footprint in South India as well as Maharashtra. And they also do a large crane corrective actions across India. So it's a very, very special competent stuff which is added to our fleet. And on the O&M side, so they have around 230 megawatt, out of which close to 80 megawatt they are doing full comprehensive O&M with a tenure more than approximately maximum to the tune up to 5 years, and it depends on various retail customers as well they have, and some small IPPs also they have in their kitty. And other areas, they provide different services, right from maintenance contract services, large corrective services to some O&M, some monitoring and maintenance, preventive maintenance. They have various services attached to various O&M contracts across India. And to be precise, they are an expert in de-erecting the large blades, gearbox, nacelle without using the cranes. So this is a very, very unique competency which is much needed for the wind fleet which is operating in India. So that's a great acquisition as per ours is concerned. And they have a very localized connect in South India. So we believe that using the presence of our strength, we can grow IFOX in that geography where we will expect more capacity additions in future, near future. Thank you.
Also, Akhilesh, just to add, these guys have been managing these assets for the past 4 to 5 years. And we've factored in only those contracts which have carried on for the past 4 to 5 years. The repeat rate for the contracts which they've taken is upwards of 98%. And hence, strategically also what we've done is we've ended up buying 51% in all these companies so that they carry on. And we've made it a mix of cash and a mix of equity over a period of time. So say, for example, this company costs 100 rupees and I buy 51%. So I have to pay 51 rupees. We've made it a mix of cash and equity. And let's say it's 25 is cash and let's say 26 is equity. Even that is spread over a period of time. We've done it in a manner such that the operating EBITDA of that business itself is more or less equivalent to our outgo in any financial year. Does that give you enough color on how we propose to acquire companies?
Yes, sir. So, should I assume that the business margin is currently, what, 25-odd%, which you hope to improve over time? Or what is the EBITDA level?
They are at about 34% EBIT margin. That's the weighted average of the 5 years of operation they've been at, given that they are a very, very specialized service company.
Okay. Understood. But I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anand Jain, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just first of all, just a few points, because this is the first quarter after the IPO, and we were carrying a large amount of debt earlier. It would be very helpful if you can upload the balance sheet. That is one comment I have, because that would help us here as to where the debt is and how it is going. The second thing is, you know, there is just so much confusion in the results. Some of the operations are like, you know, so it would be very helpful if you can give us a very clean numbers and separate out continued and discontinued operations so that we can have some idea of how the numbers are for the business that's going to be going forward.
So your first question is about the balance sheet. Yes, balance sheet is uploaded on biannual basis. So H1 balance sheet we upload, and as per the requirement, we'll upload the balance sheet as on 31st March annual balance sheet.
It is not the case of requirement. It is just that, you know, we are coming from a situation where we were carrying a large amount of debt. We had an IPO. It is not a regulatory requirement that I'm asking you to do. It is purely for an understanding point of view.
And I think it's a fairly straightforward answer. So while it may not be a regulatory requirement at this point in time, I think we put out in the public domain, and I think it's absolutely well elucidated. We've used the IPO proceeds, which are under a monitoring agency. 330 crores has gone towards debt repayment. The remaining debt in the company is approximately 265 crores, which will be offset once Nani Virani is sold. So, I mean, let's not mix up the wind business or the group businesses with Inox Green. Inox Green is a pretty straightforward entity now with about 265 crores of net debt, which will be completely eliminated post-sale of Nani Virani. I don't think it needs to be made so complicated.
No, it is not complicated. What I'm asking you to do is that, you know, now if I have to understand what is the interest and what is the depreciation going forward from the core O&M business, how do I do that? There is like around 16-17 crore of depreciation that is happening. So if I don't know what is the asset base of O&M business, how am I going to have some idea of what that is going to look going forward?
Yeah, so specifics, you can get in touch with us offline and we can provide you the details.
Yeah, so whatever. If you can just give us some idea of how the interest, and assuming Nani Virani doesn't flip over in the next quarter, then what kind of interest and depreciation?
So Anand, let's put it like this. Once Nani Virani is downsold, interest will be zero at the Inox Green level.
And depreciation?
So depreciation is straight lining. Broadly, Manish and JM, do we have those broad numbers? So depreciation will be close to about 16 to 17 crores quarter on quarter.
Because we are only doing O&M services, so how are we planning so much effort so that the depreciation is going to be the same?
Anand, I think maybe you need to have a separate call with our finance team to explain to you as maybe you're not so keyed in. This business is zero capex, barring acquisitions. Now, with respect to zero capex, is simply because we carry a very large common infrastructure, and that common infrastructure is depreciated on a straight line basis. Yeah. To get a better understanding of that, I would suggest you have a separate call with JM and Manish.
I was thinking that a lot of depreciation is coming from our wind power assets, which are there on our balance sheet.
No, and that's why we said, I mean, EBITDA typically in this business will be equal to cash profit going forward, simply because there is zero capex in this business and we have significant brought forward losses given the 5 years of downturn in the wind sector. So we have zero tax payout for the next 3 to 4 years. And hence at the Inox Green level, EBITDA would be equal to cash profit as we move forward. Sanad, I think for your benefit, it will be better if you get into a call with our investor relations team and our finance team. They'll be able to take you through this fairly easily. I think we did a lot of that during the IPO.
So we'll be happy to address your queries offline.
Yeah, that I will do. So I will go on to more other questions
here. Anand, sorry to interrupt you. I'll request to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Giriraj Daga from KM Visaria Family Trust. Please go ahead.
Hello team. Sorry. So first on the Inox acquisition, so are we disclosing the acquisition price at EV rate or the market cap? We have only given the value per share. So obviously we can't make it out how much the market cap or the EV.
So for strategic reasons, we will not be disclosing that, given that we are in discussions on at least 8 or 10 potential targets. We cannot put that out in the public domain. All we can say is, as I mentioned, all the acquisitions we are looking at are being structured by way of acquiring 51%, and all of them are being broken up into a part equity component, cash component, and part equity component spread over X number of years. For a ballpark assessment, how we are trying to ring fence each of these deals is broadly looking at the EBITDA of those operations on a yearly basis and simply ensuring the cash flow outflow of our acquisition cost towards that is equivalent or less than the operational cash flow on a year-to-year basis. So I think these are value accretive from day one, and we are very, very risk-averse in these costs. As I mentioned, or as I would like to mention, the easiest way for us to grow this business was to typically give 6 months to 1 year of free O&M and then gradually start taking over many contracts on a pan-India basis. To ensure speed and ensure longevity of these contracts without the risk of any of them going away, we are going ahead and acquiring majority of these companies in a cash neutral manner or a cash positive manner from our perspective, and ensuring that these contracts remain with us for a longer period of time and everyone's interest in build. What's also relevant and pertinent is all these companies that we're taking over 51 are those companies which are strong in their respective regional areas. And all of them have multiple smaller players in those areas which can be gobbled up by these guys. So I think it's a very, very prudent strategy which we've put into mission. SK is driving this very, very closely. But for strategic reasons, we will not be sharing specific numbers given we have 8 or 10 deals being worked upon as we speak.
Okay, understood. My second point was that when we mentioned O&M revenue of 45 crore and a bit margin of 48%, so roughly that's like work out to be close to 21.5 crore kind of a number. But when we look at the numbers, a bit number adjusted of one of you mentioned about 18.5 crore as a. So is there somewhere that trading income had a loss during the quarter, or like how do we read that number?
So effectively what's happening is an EBITDA is trading income is done at cost. So there is no gain, there is no loss. However, the income from operations is netted off from Nani Virani is netted off in EBITDA. So that 2 odd crores of revenue from Nani Virani operations in the presentation, which is as per accounting standards, is being netted off. If you add that, then you'll get that 48 to 50% number from top line. So 21 odd crores, what is reflected is about 18.5, and you have about 2.5 crores from Nani Virani, which would take you to the 48 to 50% EBITDA margin.
Okay. Just for the academic purpose, when we mention in the P&L line item purchase of stock in trade, this is a trading income, right? 17.86 is the...
Yes, it is a purchase of stock in trade.
Correct, it is the trading income only, right? Trading the cost and trading income will be part of the revenue, right?
Yes.
So we should assume that last quarter you had 11 crore kind of a worth of a trading and this quarter it's about 18 crore kind of a number.
Broadly, yes.
Okay. So just to look at like FY24, obviously we had added some amount during this acquisition plus some organic growth, plus we'll do some 4 quarter organic growth, and obviously some parts will come in the next year also. So just to look at that, when we look at 21, 22 crore of EBIT number, probably we'll do somewhere about close to 90, 100 crore kind of EBIT number for FY24. Is this like, am I thinking on the right side of the number? I'm only looking at a O&M EBIT number.
EBITDA or EBIT and FY23 or
FY24? 24. Let's say you mentioned 48% is EBIT margin or EBITDA margin.
Sorry, we cannot give guidance for FY24 numbers. We are barred from giving those forward-looking projections. But from an FY23 perspective, I think the numbers of the past 9 months are in the public domain, and the Q4 should only be better because there is more capacity obviously going online in Q4. And yes, over FY24, we expect growth to come not just organically from Inox Wind, which has a very large order book as well as multiple orders from NTPC and so on and so forth, but also inorganically by way of multiple other acquisitions which we are working on. But with respect to specific numbers and specific EBITDA, we will not be able to share that.
Okay. What is the CapEx number for the FY24?
Zero. We have zero CapEx in this business, as I mentioned.
So we'll practically have a zero in cash flow also.
No, or not zero cash flow. It will be free cash flow. EBITDA will be equal to free cash flow. There is zero CapEx. EBITDA in this business will be equal to free cash flow since depreciation is paper depreciation given the large common infrastructure which we carry, and given the brought forward tax losses of the past 5 years, we have zero tax payable for the next 3 to 4 years. So EBITDA will be free cash flow for this company.
Okay. Last thing from my side, has Inox Green given any corporate level corporate guarantee to any of the group companies?
No, Inox Green has not given any corporate guarantees. In fact, the 330 crores which has been paid in, paid out from the IPO proceeds was guaranteed by the group. That corporate guarantee has fallen off, which was also put out by way of a group level press release. Once we pay out the Nani Virani debt and the 100 crores which comes in along by selling the equity, obviously the Nani Virani debt is guaranteed by the wind companies, not by Inox Green. The 100 crores which will go towards debt repayment will also lead to further group corporate guarantees going away. Inox Green has not given any guarantees for any other company in the group.
Okay, sure. Thank you from my side.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to Jigar Kamdar for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for participating in the earnings con call. Have a good day. Thanks to management also for your time. Thank you.
At the end, I'd like to say Tara Chinani from Inox Wind, out here as a Inox Wind Group. Very happy to, you know, have this first call from the investors. We are very, very gung-ho. We are very, very optimistic about the way things are moving right now. Even at Inox Wind, we plan to, you know, doing lot more, as the situation comes up. We have the, you know, quite aggressive focus and pipeline on the future as side. We look forward to the, you know, our next call.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.